Good morning, Lakeland family. We are excited to have this opportunity to connect. We just want you to know, as your pastoral staff, that we deeply miss the opportunity of being able to gather together with you publicly. But we are thankful for the opportunity to connect virtually and to still have an opportunity to study the Word of God together. So I invite you this morning to please open your Bibles with me to the book of Psalms, and we're going to be specifically looking at Psalm 93. We're going to look at part of that psalm this morning, and next Sunday we will finish looking at that psalm together. So please open your Bibles to Psalm 93. Have you ever been watching a football game or possibly your favorite show on television, and an announcer breaks in with a statement saying something to the effect, "We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming to bring you this important message"? You've probably had that happen to you before. I know I've had that happen to me many times over. And just to be completely transparent, when that interruption came, it was somewhat annoying at that time. But even so, it was still effective to shift my attention from what I was doing to focus my attention to a message that I needed to hear. Currently, as we're dealing with this global pandemic of the coronavirus, many people are fearful and they're panicking. This virus brings with it a lot of uncertainties about the near future and what is ahead of us in the days to come. Church and unchurched people alike are struggling to make sense of what's going on. And there's insecurity that's being bred into the hearts of many. In the midst of this national and global emergency, I wish there was a way where we could just interrupt everyone's regularly scheduled programming to bring them an important message. And I believe that important message is found in Psalm 93. In the first line of this psalm, the psalmist declares the main idea of this song. He declares in this text that our God reigns, and He reigns over all the earth. The Lord in heaven above is the ultimate king who is reigning over this world in all things. As the true king, God is the ruler of this world. He's the one who is sovereignly in control of everything that is happening. The psalmist stresses, by the way that he constructs this first sentence, that the God of the Bible, Yahweh, alone and no other deity, no other so-called God or being, is the true king. And in this passage of Scripture, we see that the psalmist goes on to celebrate and describe the kingship of God, how God rules. We see several characteristics of God's kingship and His ruling of our world from heaven above. And so what we're going to do this morning, we're going to read this text. We're going to look at a couple of those characteristics of God's kingship, of His rule. And then next Sunday, as I said earlier, we will finish looking at this psalm together so that we can have a better understanding of how our God rules and what an encouragement that is to us. So before we dive into this passage, let's take our Bibles and let's read the passage together. Psalm 93, verse 1 begins this way. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded Himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established, and it will not be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their pounding waves. More than the sounds of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your testimonies are fully confirmed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Let's pray together. Father, these are truly unique days. God, with challenges that we did not see coming. But we're praying this morning that through this psalm, that you will encourage our hearts with this all-important message that we and all people need to hear, that you are our God who is reigning from heaven above over earth below, that you are the one true King who is in sovereign control of all that is taking place. God, will you open our eyes to see the truth of this passage and help us to apply it to our lives to honor you in the way that we should. And we pray it in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that all-important message that the psalmist declares in this passage to us, which is so applicable for us today, is that our God reigns as King over all the earth. And he gives us several interesting characteristics about God's kingship, about God's rule. First of all, what I want you to see in this text is that our God rules majestically. His kingship is majestic. Look at what the psalmist says in verse 1 of Psalm 93. He says, "The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty." Now, back in this time period, in times of antiquity, kings distinguished themselves by the clothing that they wore. They had magnificent garments, and these garments were not merely just for show or for pomp, but they revealed something about the identity of the person who was wearing them. It revealed something about their high position and their high status. And here the psalmist wants his readers to understand something about the high position of God as he describes God's royal clothing. Unlike the clothing of human kings, the robe of God is no ordinary material. God's royal clothing, the psalmist says in verse 1, is majesty, a word which expresses that God is clothed with glory and splendor and magnificence. It emphasizes the dignity of his office and his person and position. This word majesty describes the person and position of God. It describes the character and kingship of God. Now, I've never had the opportunity to meet a real human king, but if you and I were ever in a situation where we were to be in the presence of a modern-day monarch, there's a proper way that we should address the king. There's a greeting that is appropriate when being in his presence, and the way we would address a king is with that greeting that you've heard before. We would address him as "Your Majesty." This greeting recognizes the king's status. It recognizes his high position. Similarly, the majesty of God, as it's brought forth in verse 1 of Psalm 93, it calls for us to think about our God as he reigns from heaven above over earth below, as our God is our King who is of high position, namely that he is in a class all his own. We ought not to think of any other being or any other person more highly than we think of our God. We rightly speak of God as being the King of Kings and being the Lord of Lords. There's no God like our God. This word majesty brings that to light. There is no governance like the governance of our God. There is no administration of rule like the administration of rule that our God carries out throughout the world. The majesty of God, if you want to get a picture of what the psalmist is stressing to us, is he wants us to recognize the greatness of God. The supremacy of our God above all other so-called gods, all other beings, and all people. God rules over our world with majesty, with greatness, and incomparable supremacy. The greatness or majesty of God, it teaches us, when we examine it in this context, that our God, as King over all the earth, he deserves our worship. in the midst of a global pandemic, where we're practicing things that we've never heard of before, something that is new to all of us, social distancing, where some of us are having to self-quarantine for 14 days at a time, in the midst of an economy where the stock market is constantly fluctuating, rising and falling, in a time where the future is uncertain for us moving forward, we don't know what is ahead. This situation seems to be so fluid, it changes from one day to the next. In a time when people are getting sick and even dying from this outbreak, this text reminds us that our God is still deserving of our worship because of his greatness. We do not worship God based upon the favorableness of circumstances or conditions in life. We continue to worship God because of his greatness and because he's a great king who's ruling over this world and over our lives. He deserves to be greatly worshiped. Brothers and sisters, in this time of crisis, of national and global emergency, let us show a watching community where our focus should be, that it should ultimately be upon our great God, our King. Let's continue to worship him during this time. Rather than pulling back, let's draw near. Let's continue to do what we were doing before we entered into this state of crisis. Let's seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's be a people who are pursuing a deeper relationship with God as we spend time in prayer with him and we open his word and we let him talk to us. Let's adore God with songs. Sing to him praises from your heart. Let's speak well of God in these days, and let's speak of God often to others. Let's love him with all our hearts, all our minds, and all our souls. And let's surrender ourselves in the kind of worship where we say that we are still here to be your servants, to do your will, O God, and the good works that you've prepared for us. Our God rules over us with majesty. We see that he is a great king, and he's deserving of our worship even during these trying times. The psalmist goes on, and he highlights a second characteristic of God's rule that encourages us in this time. Not only does God rule with majesty, but the psalmist shows us that our God also rules with might. Look at what the text says in Psalm 93, verse 1. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded himself with strength. Not only is our God glorious and great, but he's also strong. He's also powerful. He's also mighty. My brother and I, when we were younger and there would be some kind of a hill or even a dirt mound, we used to play this game called King of the Hill or King of the Mountain. One of us would run to the top of that hill and we would pretend to be the king, the one who was in control, the one who was in charge of all things. But you know what we were doing? We were pretending. What we were doing was acting like something was true when it wasn't. We had no power. We had no ability to do anything, really. The psalmist wants us to understand when it comes to the declaration that God in heaven above rules over this world below, that he's no pretender to the throne. This is not an act for God. He's not all talk and no show, so to speak. Our God, who is greater than all others, is mightier than all others. He speaks and he acts with all power. This is why the Bible throughout calls God the Almighty. It's because he has all might. There's nothing that is hard for our God. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 27, this is what God says to Jeremiah. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? That question that God asks to Jeremiah has an obvious answer of no, there's nothing too hard for the God of the whole world, the one who has all might. Think about this with me. Our God who rules over us, even in these days, he has no vulnerabilities. He has no weaknesses. He has no temptations. That there are no situations that are hard for God. God has never faced a challenge. There is no height that is high for him. That there is no depth that is deep for him. There is no distance that is far for God. He reigns with such might and such power over our world. Look at what the psalmist goes on to say in verse 1. That indeed the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. One commentator summarizes what the psalmist is saying there with these words. The reference here is to the fact that there is no force that can shake the ordered world which God has created. In other words, here's the encouragement. Because God is so mighty in the way he governs the world that he has made, there is no force that can rise up to challenge God. He never feels threatened by anything. Another commentator puts it this way. This statement assures us that with God, things in this world, they never get out of hand. Do we have a global and national emergency on our hands with the coronavirus? It appears to be that way. Is this virus out of control? Absolutely, 100%, it is not. God created this world. Our God holds this world together. And our God, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, he is the one who is supervising and ordering and bringing all things to their proper conclusion from the beginning to the end. And that includes this viral outbreak. In some way, this virus still factors in to the divine plan of God for human history. Look further down with me in verses 3 through 4 at what the psalmist pictures for us, the illustration he gives us to further just impress upon us the might and the power of our God with which he rules. Here the psalmist describes one of the strongest forces in all the world, and that is the waters of the oceans. The psalmist tells us here in this passage, he says, "The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their pounding waves. More than the sounds of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty." So what we see here in this passage is we see this picture of the waters. They're rising. They're getting higher and higher. And then we see their voice. We hear their roaring that they're making. You can picture the waves as they're getting higher and higher. And as they begin to turn over and over, the sound, the thunderous sound that they make. And then the psalmist says that these floods lift up their pounding. We see the force of these waves as they crash one after the other. And what the psalmist wants us to see, even in light of the greatness of the sound and the force of those waves, our God is greater. He's mightier. He wants us to understand that even as the Almighty controls these raging waves of the sea, which can destroy shorelines, which can ruin cities, which can sink the largest of ships, our God is in control of them. He's in control of those powerful forces. Every natural disaster, every political uprising, every spiritual battle, every global pandemic, this text assures us that our God is in control of it. There is nothing that can challenge God, nothing that can rise up against his power and his authority. Since God is all-powerful, that means this virus is not outside of his control. God has this viral outbreak right where he wants it. I've shared this story with you before, but it came to my mind as I was working through this passage of Scripture. When our son Titus was 6 months old, he had a severe allergic reaction to something that he had eaten. And a rash began to break out over his whole body. And his mouth began to swell. His lips began to swell. And I'm beginning to panic because I'm thinking that his throat is about to swell, that it's about to close up on him. And so I'm on the phone. I'm calling the doctor. I'm asking the doctor, what do we need to do? And the reason I'm doing that is because this was out of my hands. I didn't have the knowledge. I didn't have the ability to fix the situation. I want you to think about this truth in the times in which we're living right now. God's never had a moment like that. God's never had a situation where he was nervous, where he panicked, or where he had an impulsive action. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they have never had to have an emergency huddle in heaven to discuss something that was happening down here on earth because they didn't see it coming or they didn't know how to handle it. Since God rules with such might, Lakeland family, guests who are joining with us, we have nothing to fear during this time because our God is in charge. We don't know what his purpose is in this pandemic, but we know that he knows exactly what he is doing with it. His mighty rule assures us that we're safe, that we're protected. With this crisis, when things seem to be too great and seem to be too big, and it seems to be too strong, this psalm encourages us to look up to our God and remember that he's the stronger one and to be encouraged during this time. Our God reigns. He reigns over the whole earth, and he does so with majesty. He's a great God, and he does so with might. He's a strong and capable God. And with that thought in mind, that our God is ruling over this earth with majesty and might, I want to encourage you to commit with me to the following commitments in the days ahead as we do this journey together during this time of crisis. Number one, let's commit to trust God wholeheartedly. Let's be good citizens and submit to our governing officials at the federal, state, and local levels. That's biblical teaching according to Romans chapter 13. We know that God has put our governments in place for our good, for our protection, for our safety. So let's follow the guidelines that they are giving us. But let's make sure in these days that our trust is in our God in heaven above. Lakeland, God is our only true hope in these days. Whatever health experts or officials or governments accomplish in addressing the spread of this virus, it's only going to be because our God in heaven, who is greater than all and who's mightier than all, he's shown them grace. He has blessed them. He's opened doors. He's given wisdom. He's provided the resources. Only our God is able to work this together for our good and for his glory. Scripture calls us not to walk by sight, but to walk by faith. So let's believe God, let's seek God, and let's obey God in this hour. Let's trust God wholeheartedly. Number two, let's pray passionately. As we've just looked at a text of Scripture that just celebrates and proclaims the might of our God, let's make sure in these days that we are praying to him above to release his power here on earth below. When we pray, our God hears our prayers and he moves and he acts through the prayers of his people. Let's plead with God that he will slow the spread of COVID-19. Let's plead with God passionately that he will stop this virus. Let's plead with God to provide all of the resources that we need to sustain us from day to day. Let's pray that God gives us, as a church, all the resources that we need, as individual families, all the resources that we need. Let's plead to God and pray passionately that God will give us, your church leaders, wisdom. These are uncharted waters for us. We've never walked this road before, as you have not. And so we need wisdom on how to best minister to you, how to serve you, and how to keep us best connected as we can during this time as we have to meet together virtually. And let's plead with God to bless, to open doors, to help our governing officials to know what they need to do to protect our country, to protect our communities, to protect our world. So let's trust God wholeheartedly. Let's pray passionately. Number three, let's connect weekly. One of the things that's really come to light in my own heart, having to have two Sundays where I've not been able to gather with my church family, is that I miss seeing you. The biblical vision of corporate worship is God's people physically and publicly gathering together for worship to encourage one another. But at this time, we're not able to do that. What we have, though, is this means to stay connected, to pray together, to communicate, to open the Word of God and study. And so let's do our best to continue our regular practice on Sundays of coming together around our computers, around our iPhones, around our iPads, and let's worship together and let's listen to what God is saying to us through His Word. Let's trust His plan that in all of this, He knows what He's doing. We didn't see this coming, but He did, and He knew this would be the means by which we would have to connect. So let's continue to connect weekly. Let's trust God wholeheartedly. Let's pray passionately. Number four, let's give regularly. Let's give faithfully. These are challenging times for all churches, especially Lakeland Baptist Church, your home church. It is critical that we all continue to give. To give faithfully, to give generously, even to give sacrificially, maybe above and beyond what we have been giving, if God's blessed us in that way, so that we can sustain the ministries and the mission that Jesus Christ has given to us. I want you to think about this if you're nervous about finances in this time. Our majestic God, who's greater than all, who has all might, who's more powerful than all, He is in control of this world and in control of your finances. And there's still this call upon all of our lives to still honor God with our finances. So Lakeland, you are always a faithful people to give. Let's continue to support this church, which I love and which you dearly love, and this church which God intends to use to glorify Himself and advance the gospel in our community, our state, and around the world. And then last of all, let's share the gospel intentionally. God is still on mission, even in the midst of this virus that is spreading worldwide. We all need to be thinking, God, how do you want to use me to point people to Jesus? How do you want to use me to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ in the lives of others? Let me encourage you, send your friends emails to start spiritual conversations as we're quarantined, as we're distancing ourselves socially from one another. Let's use email. Let's use Facebook as a platform to take prayer requests and to start conversations. Ask people how you can pray for them. Let's use our phones. Let's call people we've not talked to or people we're not seeing to check on them, pray for them, and maybe ask God that He will give us an open door to share the gospel. Let's post scripture on our Instagram, our Twitter, and our Facebook pages. God, will you give me, will you give Lakeland Baptist Church members eyes to see people, hearts to love people, and mouths that will boldly speak your truth to those who need to hear the gospel and receive a word of encouragement in these days. Our God reigns over the whole earth, and He does so with majesty. He's a great God. He does so with might. He's a strong, He's an all-powerful God. And you know what the Bible tells us? 2,000 years ago, our great God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He lay aside his glory, his majesty, his splendor in heaven. And he came to this earth and he became a man, and his glory was concealed, his splendor was concealed. And he came ultimately that he might live the life that we can't live, a perfect life, and that he might die the death that we deserve, death for being a sinner. He went to the cross and laid down his life, and God judged Jesus in our place. For all of the wrongs that we had committed, they fell upon Christ. He died, and he arose from the grave on the third day. And Jesus came for this purpose, to demonstrate his power over sin and over death, because as he was raised from the dead, he is declared by the Father in heaven above to be the King who has conquered our greatest enemies of sin and death. Lakeland Baptist, do you want to know why we don't have to fear during this day when there is a viral outbreak, when there's a pandemic globally that is spreading from nation to nation? You want to know why we can have peace and joy and confidence and encouragement at this time? It's because our great King in heaven above, he came down to earth and he's conquered for us death and sin. He came to establish the kingdom of God among God's people, that he might come and rule in our hearts, set us free from sin and its power so that we could live for God, and that he might deliver us from the judgment to come, death. We don't know what is going to happen with the coronavirus, but we do know what happens at the end of all of our lives, death. And so we can smile, we can be joyous, we can have encouragement, and we can continue to live faithfully for God because we know that Jesus has delivered us and we're safe in his hands because we've turned from our sins and we've trusted in him. And the worst thing that could happen to us, death, Jesus has already beat that for us. So be encouraged, Lakeland family, that Jesus Christ is going to keep us safe. We are eternally secure in his hands because he is our King who has conquered sin and death for us. And if you're watching with us and maybe you have never come to know God in a personal relationship by turning from your sin and trusting in Christ, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. I want to encourage you to do that. If you're ready to invite Christ into your life, I want to encourage you to pray this simple prayer, and then we're going to have a time of response for you as we worship together in one final song to just praise God for being our great King because of his majesty, because of his might, and just to ask him to use you and work through you during these days. But if you don't know him, I want to invite you to pray this prayer after me, that you mean it from your heart, not just words you're saying, but it's coming from a true desire that you want to know Christ. And the Bible says, whoever will call upon his name shall be saved. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for this message from Psalm 93. We thank you that nothing's out of control in this world, and that Jesus Christ is our King who's come and he's conquered, and he's the one who has all authority in heaven above and on earth below. And we thank you that he has delivered us from sin and from death. If there's someone who is watching who needs that encouragement, who needs life and needs to be delivered from sin, I pray you'll give them the encouragement, the strength to pray this prayer, something like it. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I've rebelled against you, and I'm willing at this point to say I'm through living life on my own terms. I want to turn from my old ways of living, and I want to give my life over to you. And I know that life is found in Jesus Christ. He lived for me. He died for me. He arose from the dead. And I want to invite him into my life, surrendering my whole self to him. And I want to follow him all the days of my life. Dear Jesus, help me to live for you from this point forward. I place my confidence in you, my trust in you. I believe in who you are and what you did. Please save me. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we want to celebrate with you as a church. Please contact our church office. Please connect with us through our website or through our social media pages. Again, let's have a time of response together. Let's worship and let's savor this wonderful truth that our God reigns over all the earth. Love you, Lakeland.